On this episode, we go through all our favorite hatred and rivalry games, check out the conference races, and make some Race for the Case picks, including Ohio State, Michigan.
Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel, Ross Gellinger, and SI's Pat Forty. Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod, Race for the Case Thanksgiving edition. Hope you guys are traveling safely. Enjoy, or already enjoyed, however this comes out, wherever you're listening to it. Or you need to slip into the backyard and have a cocktail and not listen to your family argue over stuff. And you just want to listen to us. I mean, why not? We argue, but it's, you know, we all love each other. We're a happy family. We're a real family here.
Because we don't actually live together.
It does help. A couple hours a week on a Zoom. Can make it. So, obviously, look, we talked Ohio. If you're looking for Ohio State, Michigan, we did last episode a ton. And the one before. Talked to Florida State, talked a bunch. But one of the things about, obviously, that's the game this weekend. But college football just ends in such a, like, spectacular fashion. And there's all these teams that have had good seasons, and then they play their arch rivals, and then it kind of gets lost in the shuffle sometimes. Like, some of these games would be so huge if they're played in, like, week six, but they aren't. But that's all right. This is what you build to. I like it. I said on the last time, I like when you build to your rival. And the in-state stuff is great, even if it causes mayhem on Thanksgiving. So beyond Ohio State, Michigan, maybe, you know, we're going to talk when we pick the games, Washington State or something like, or Oregon State, Civil War. What games are you looking forward to this weekend? And it could be the big rivalry. It could have something to do with a chase. We usually do this any weekend. It's our last big weekend where we have a lot of games that might intrigue us that aren't always obvious. So, Pat, I'll start with you. What game are you looking forward to this weekend?
Oh, boy, there's so many. I'm going to start locally backyard here since I live in Louisville, and the Louisville-Kentucky game to me is super interesting. Cardinals have had their best season in a decade since Teddy Bridgewater was the quarterback and they were winning the Sugar Bowl. They are 10-1, but Kentucky has been a nemesis. And Kentucky, the last time they beat Kentucky was 2017. Lamar Jackson was the quarterback. So it's been a while. They've had some good teams get smoked by the Wildcats. And frankly, losing and getting smoked by the Wildcats last year helped get them Jeff Brohm. I think it made Scott Satterfield feel like he was in an untenable position, so he bailed sideways move at best to Cincinnati. And lo and behold, here comes Brohm. And everything has been glorious. But there are a lot of Louisville fans out there that are like, you know, 10 wins is awesome, but we really have to beat Kentucky this year, especially because Kentucky has crushed Louisville in the basketball rivalry, and they're going to do that again a month from now. So this is an important game for Cardinals fans, and we'll see if Kentucky, which has had a disappointing season in its own right, can salvage a little momentum for next year and start and inflict a little bit more pain on the Cardinals here on Saturday at noon.
I'm going local as well. I can't not say the Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving night. It's one that kind of why I fell in love with college football, attending the Egg Bowl back in the late 90s and early 2000s. There's always a debate on, like, what, you know, what rivalry in college football and in college sports in general is the most intense and the best rivalry and all this stuff. You always see the rankings. I think the Ole Miss-Mississippi State rivalry is just like the dirtiest rivalry. you know, it's just, as I tweeted like earlier this week, it's beautifully dirty. And it's partly because, like, there's nothing else for our people, right? Like, Ole Miss and Mississippi State haven't won a national title. Well, Mississippi State never has won a national title, and Ole Miss's last title was in the 50s. Neither team has won an SEC championship in, I don't know, four decades, maybe more. This is it. The Egg Bowl is it. And it's what, and it's fired probably more coaches the Egg Bowl has, the result of it, than any other rivalry in college football. It truly has. I mean, just a couple few years ago, both coaches were fired after the Egg Bowl. It's pretty intense. And every year I do tweet out
after
kind of a
dog peeing celebration.
Correct. Yes, urination.
You're missing
the urination.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's an all-timer.
We're because of current events, I wanted to mention a couple of things, espionage type things involved in the Mississippi State Ole Miss rivalry. The paranoia is always high on both campuses that week. And I remember being told this story, and I think I may have mentioned this on the pod last year, but Jack Ishiro, when he was coach at Mississippi State, was so paranoid that of rebel spies spying on his practices that he planted dozens of fir trees around Mississippi State's practice field that now still exists. They're like 30 feet tall. During one Ole Miss practice under David Cutcliffe, an Ole Miss coach during practice in the stadium raced up to the top of the stadium to confront what looked like a Mississippi State spy all dressed in maroon at the top of the stadium with binoculars looking down at the Ole Miss field. And he threw the person over the side of the stadium. On the field, players gasped. Had they just witnessed a murder? But no, David Cutcliffe had concocted the whole thing. It was a mannequin dressed in maroon that was thrown over the side of the stadium. Dan Mullen used to put the pictures of like Ole Miss stickers and such in the Mississippi State locker room urinals during this week, so players could, do their business on the Ole Miss logos. So it's just dirty. There's, again, there's a lot of spying and espionage. It's the game I look forward to pretty much all year, and it is the one that made me fall in love with college football. The passion and the hatred in all of it. It's college football all rolled into one.
The best part is it is a look into the crazy, and it's rarely like it's often they're both 6-5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and it is crazy. I mean, Dan didn't even mention that an Ole Miss beat report or a Mississippi State beat reporter filed a public records request to get records for an Ole Miss head coach, a certain Hugh Freeze, and then exposed those phone records in. And he was found to have called an escort service and was fired. I mean, come on.
I've always said that these are two programs willing to gouge each other's eyes out for the right to finish fifth in the SEC West.
Yeah. I will posit that here in Michigan, that Michigan and Michigan State are trying their best to equal the Midwestern Egg Bowl. I mean, we had this year a spying scandal, which included a Michigan staffer dressed up as a Central Michigan a coach on the sideline of a game Michigan wasn't even in with spy glasses. And then during the 49-0 beatdown, Hitler trivia got played. So part of the reason for the lopsided nature was because the Michigan State head coach had inappropriate Zoom with the Ron. With the Ron. We're trying. Chop some wood there.
By the way,
we're trying to keep up, but it's not easy. It's not easy, but we're trying.
No. This game, by the way, is a good example. And we talk about a lot of these rivalry games, these big rivalry games involving CFP contenders. But when an expanded playoff arrives, if we have seven games this weekend, pretty much all rivalry games where CFP contenders are in the mix for, in an expanded playoff, they'll probably be, you'll go from seven to probably like 14 to 18 games. Yeah. And this is one of them, right? Ole Miss, Mississippi State in an expanded playoff era could end Ole Miss's chances at 9-2, could end Ole Miss's chances at being an at-large, getting an at-large spot in an expanded playoff.
The sport's going to just boom next year. It's going to be incredible. No question. All right, game I'm looking forward to, North Carolina State, North Carolina.
Good one.
Both teams 8-3. lot of rivalry there. Probably Drake May's last game at North Carolina. I don't know that he'll play a bowl game. He's going to be a top two pick. Can't imagine much more than that. Top five, certainly in the NFL. So you have that. Can Drake May go out with style? This NC State team fascinates me. They're 8-3. MJ Morris took over as their starting QB and then decided to redshirt after four games after beating Clemson and Miami. They bring back Brennan Armstrong, who's like the team first guy of all time. He had switched to running back.
Yeah.
When he got demoted, now he's quarterback. They win two more games. Last week against Virginia Tech, he rushed 21 times for 89 yards and threw for 203. Can he gut this out and lead NC State to the weirdest 9-3 season with multiple quarterbacks and a rando red shirt in the middle and all of that, plus
rando
red shirt, and they hate each other and they're right there on top of each other. And this is going to be a good game. I'm really interested to see who wins this game. So I'm fired up for NC State at UNC.
Yeah, I like that game too. The other element of that very quickly is, you know, UNC is a team that starts the year in the rankings. They've got the Heisman Trophy candidate quarterback. They got the top five pick. They've gotten all the attention in that this season. But here's NC State with a chance to make Drake May 0-2 as the starting quarterback in his career against the Wolfpack. It would be a heck of a thing for Dave Doran for his program.
Yeah. All right. Any others? There's plenty.
Obviously. Oh, yeah. Plenty more. I was going to say NC State and North Carolina, so I'm glad you did. How about the Territorial Cup, Arizona State? Mm. Arizona trying to finish off a phenomenal season. And who knows, if Oregon State knocks off Oregon Friday night, they will go Saturday into Tempe with a chance to play for the Pac-12 championship, which would just be ridiculous. Is Jed Fish being courted for other jobs? We'll see about that. Arizona hasn't won in Tempe since 2011. Kenny Dillingham was handed a tire fire at Arizona State, but he's had some good wins. They're 3-8, but they're dangerous 3-8. Nearly beat Washington and Seattle. I think that's going to be a sneaky good game, and whoever wins is going to walk out of there feeling like $1 million.
I want to know if Colorado and Deion Sanders are going to end the year on a 6-game losing streak. They're 4-7. They play at 7-4. Utah, obviously a ton of hype from the Buffaloes early in the year. They got off to the 3-0 start. Big Noon Kickoff was there like 3 straight weeks. Had like a Colorado's game. And then, man, and then just, you know what, hit the fan. And started losing games, and then Deion Sanders, I think, made the kind of bizarre move to change offensive play callers from Sean Lewis. And so that was odd. This feels like a big one entering a pretty important offseason for Deion at Colorado, where I'm sure there's going to be some staff moves and shakeups, and I'm sure there's going to be some different faces on the offensive line, as he's been pretty clear about. So, but can they go in and can they pull off a big one? It would be a big one at Utah. They are 21.5-point underdogs.
Stanford broke that team.
Hmm. Yeah. Broke yeah. Them.
They need some momentum, because I thought they would crush it in the portal, and they still might. Everything that balloon just popped in that second half against Stanford. So we'll see.
We did we got Ross to say Deion again. So
that that's good. True. We needed that. I'm sure there'll be plenty of Deion offseason talk. I like Clemson at South Carolina. Not your classic one, but South Carolina won that game last year. And that was a significant victory for Shane Beamer. And anytime they can try to catch up with Clemson, and it produced a lot of momentum and all that. Clemson, not a great season, 7-4, but buy stock in little old Clemson. So William Christopher Sweeney tells me.
Right.
And they got to go to Columbia. And believe me, they can't go 7-5 and lose to South Carolina 2 years in a row. Like, not acceptable. So if we're buying stock in Clemson, they beat South Carolina. This is going to be heated. It's going to be hated. all that. It's going to be wild. And there, I don't think there's anything more. Like, this is very important for Clemson to send South Carolina back to a 5-7 season. Don't let them get bowl eligible. Reassert command over this rivalry and get to 8-4 and get off to a bowl and talk about the future. It's a big momentum game for Clemson.
Clemson trying to go 4-0 since the showdown with Tyler from Spartanburg.
Yep. Tyler should be out there.
Thank you, Tyler.
Dot the I in Clemson. Clemson.
Clemson. Yeah.
Clemson. Clemson. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Picks. Pat, another one?
Yeah. All right. I'm going 3-for-1 here. Sorry. Maybe this is hogging, but the entire Big Ten West tar pit slog is coming down to a climactic final week. None of the teams are any good, but there's some very interesting rivalry games there. Friday at noon, Iowa-Nebraska. Saturday at 3:30, Wisconsin-Minnesota. Also Saturday at 3:30, Northwestern-Illinois. Illinois is trying to get bowl eligible. Minnesota's trying to get bowl eligible. Nebraska's still trying to get bowl eligible. Fourth straight game, they're trying to do it. Mm. If any of those teams scores 20 points, I think they should get a trophy. I bet that we go 0-6. There will be no team scoring 20 points there. Specifically, the one interesting thing, Wisconsin-Minnesota all-time series, 62-62-8. Whoever wins, leg up. You got the you own the rivalry, not just the Bunyan axe for a year, but you own the series record.
Oh, you get the axe. That's my favorite trophy of them all.
It's awesome.
Yeah, then they fake like they're going to chop down the goalpost and stuff. Like, yes. Big Ten West sucks, but they got great trophies.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Great trophies. Also, that Iowa-Nebraska Black Friday game, 26.5 is the spread.
It's just lowest, unbelievable.
Now, I think it's the new lowest ever.
Yeah.
13-14. I want to see it.
I'm intrigued. Say nine, I want to watch seven. It too, but look, if you're better off, just go like buy your Saturday by going shopping. Right. Yeah, like if you got to do Friday. Like, can you drive us to the mall? Just, yeah. You know, it's not necessarily the biggest game. All right. Ross, got another one?
I got one. Texas A&M plays at LSU, and I think most of the focus on this game isn't necessarily the result. Right. I don't know that a lot of people think A&M will keep up with LSU. They did upset the Tigers last year, but it's the focus, I think, is on the Heisman Trophy, you know, on Jaden Daniels of LSU. I think if you polled folks right now, he may be the favorite to win it all. Obviously, his numbers are ridiculous, right? 46 total touchdowns, 10 on the ground, 36 in the air. He's averaging 330 passing, and then he's averaging 125 rushing. He's shattered a bunch of single game type of records and season records. It's been incredible to watch. And he needs another big one because he doesn't play, unlike the other CFP or Heisman contenders like a Bo Nix, Michael Penix, Marvin Harrison Jr. They'll all be playing next weekend in championship Saturday, and he will not. So he needs a big performance, one last big hurrah. Can he get it?
Make two quick shout outs. One would be to West Virginia to see if they can get to 8-4 against Baylor. Not going to watch the game. But no. I hope they get, I mean, there's probably got to be something better on Saturday at 7 on FS1. Maybe I will.
No, there's a ton of good games on Saturday night.
Yeah. But I am interested to see if Neil Brown can get the Mountaineers to 8-4. It's a really nice season for them. Also, one of my favorite names of a rivalry game, Iowa State, Kansas State are playing Farmageddon, they call it. I'm in. Also, they will meet up in the meat judging contest later in the year. I still want to know about the Iron Bowl.
We went this far into this and didn't have the Orange Bowl. Wow.
Well, I blame Hugh Freeze and the Tigers for getting there. Their war eagle kick.
I'm going to be there.
New Mexico State. Are you? Are you? Okay.
Going out of the Iron Bowl. They're splitting Dan and I up. Dan's taking the game. I'm taking the Iron Bowl.
There you go. Blanket coverage over Yahoo Sports, sports.yahoo.com. Come on, bud. Mm-hmm. It's free. It's free. Auburn ends up 6-6. Look, Alabama's 14.5 point favorite, but funny things happen in Jordan Hare. You lose your final two and end up 6-6. If Alabama can put some curb stomp on this, it really is a tough season all of a sudden for Hugh Freeze that had, I thought, had rallied pretty well with that club and started to do a few things. And I think Nick Saban knows that, and he's got a lot to play for. So Auburn needs to be really ready for this game. But funny things happen on the plains, and we shall see. But that is always a good game. Always
10-year anniversary of the kick six as well.
Yeah, the kick six 10 years ago. I was driving home. That was another – I generally cover Michigan, Ohio State every year, whether it's in Columbus or Ann Arbor. I think it was in Ann Arbor. Yeah, it would be even years, right? And I was driving home and listening to that game on the radio, Alabama-Auburn, and the kick six happened, and like the broadcast couldn't really even I couldn't figure out what happened. Because you're not – like they were like a field goal, and the next thing you know, Auburn – I was like, there's a block kick? And I remember being in the car going, what is happening? Auburn wins. And it's like, okay.
I was in the press box, and I committed press box protocol violation by standing up and spreading my arms and screaming, he's going to score, because I couldn't believe it.
Incredible. All right. Any others? Lightning round.
Pour one out for the history, the memory of the games I used to watch on Thanksgiving. Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Pitt, Penn State. Two that don't happen anymore and certainly don't happen on Thanksgiving weekend. But those two were formative games in my childhood. It was like those two, Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame, USC, when they played in LA. Those are the four games I just had to watch every Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I had to pour one out for the old Black Friday game between LSU and Arkansas. You guys remember those crazy games? Nick Saban, Houston Nutt, and there's always something going on there.
Covered one of them in Little Rock where Darren McFadden went wild.
Or one out for New England United matchup. UConn 2-9, UMass 3-8. 5 combined wins, not that bad in that series. Games in Amherst. UConn 2.5 point road favorite. All right.
Okay.
Wow. ESPN Plus. Sure.
That should be
one
Fox
year they're
going to
combine.
Plus.
One. You watch. One year they're going to combine. New England United will occur. It will occur. They might throw BC in there, too. A little uppity on them right now. But if they get them all together, it's going to be something.
They need all the combining they can get.
Yeah. All right. Let's do that. All right. Let's pick. 2 weeks to go. How am I 39-39-3? I did not go like 0-6 last week.
The accounting has been suspect.
I'll check right now.
Says the loser.
The accountant is up 2 games on everybody. 43-29.
I was leading.
Ross,
what happened?
41-31. I am 39-39. Pat 34-38. And we have 3 ties, everybody. Anyway, I don't know about this. I'm going to check this. I'm checking.
I'm 7 games over 500 in my SI picks, and somehow I'm 4 under here.
Put a little effort into the pod, would you? Number 13, Ole Miss at Mississippi State. Egg Bowl, baby. Rebels given 10.5 Thursday, 7:30 ESPN. Oh, yeah. Perfect Thanksgiving night treat. Pat?
It's funny. Like Thanksgiving night, we have plenty of football fans in the family, but they all generally usually want to watch the NFL game. And I'm battling to try to get the Egg Bowl on. Yeah, just because, you know, the Egg Bowl is going to – there's going to be mayhem. I'll do my best to get that game on the TV, one of the TVs at least. I'm going to take Ole Miss to cover. Mississippi State with the coaching change, I just don't know what to expect from them. I know they had a little bit of a rally last week, but this is a different deal. And I think Mississippi's really good. I mean, they at least offensively, their defense is not good, but they've got weapons. I'm going to say Ole Miss wins and covers a pretty big number for an Egg Bowl.
It is a big number for an Egg Bowl. Do we say 10.5? Is that what we're going with?
Yep.
So the last 4 games of the series have all been within, 10 points or have been decided by 10 points or fewer. And if you just historically going back, this game usually is pretty tight. You know, maybe once out of every 3 years, you might have a result of more than one score. And I think we're probably going to get it here. I think Pat's right about the Mississippi State coaching change. Not sure what to expect. And yeah, I mean, Ole Miss has proven, I think, this year that they are a much better team. And I think Ole Miss does, in the end, cover this 10.5.
You know what? Greg Knox fired me up last week rolling through that locker room on the four-wheeler. I think he carries it into the Thanksgiving week. I'm going with Mississippi State to cover.
Expect that pick, but I'm taking Ole Miss. I'm happy. I need all the fades on Sean I can get. I'll take it with the Rebels.
There you go.
So I'll take Ole Miss. Number 11, Oregon State at number 6, Oregon. These rankings are pre-ranking, whatever. Doesn't matter. Oregon's given 13.5. Civil War, baby. Friday, 8:30 on Fox. Ross.
Oh, man. Oregon has played just as well and as dominant as anyone in college football right now. And I think they'll be hyped up for this one, seeing that they still have a chance to go to a national championship. And I think they cover. I think it's another rivalry game blowout here. Give me the Ducks.
Copy and paste what Ross said there for me. I mean, Oregon State's going to bring it to the best of their ability. Both teams can run, but Oregon can pass better than Oregon State can. DJ can't quite match throws with Bo Nix. So I'm going to take Oregon to win and cover and put a pretty good number of points on the board.
I want to believe that Oregon is not going to overlook Oregon State towards the Pac-12 championship game, but I think Oregon State keeps it a little closer than 13.5. That's a big number for me, so I will take the Beavers to cover this game.
Again, I'll fade Sean on that. Ducks, a lot of offense there. Number 2, Ohio State at number 3, Michigan. The game, we talked a great deal about this at earlier shows this week. Michigan is giving 3.5. It's noon. It's Saturday. It's Fox. It's in Ann Arbor. It'll be gray skies. Pat.
Oh, boy. I don't really know what to expect, but I'm going to say this. I think Michigan has been the better team all year. They have wobbled a little bit here lately, but I think their ability to stack up the running game, if you can contain Travion Henderson, put it on Kyle McCord. I don't like the calculus of Kyle McCord having to put it in the air like 30 times against the Michigan secondary. Marvin Harrison's great, but if you tackle him after the catch, if you can cover him in the red zone, I think Michigan's better. I think this is going to be low scoring. I think it's going to be relatively close. If Michigan's favored by 3.5, I say they win by 4, 21-17.
I would have, 2 weeks ago, I think I would have definitely picked Michigan to cover a 3.5. However, I think Ohio State has played better lately. And I think that this one will be tight the whole way. And if Michigan does win, it'll be within, you know, inside of 4 points. So Buckeyes to cover and maybe win.
I think the most exciting matchup in this game is Marvin Harrison Jr. versus Will Johnson. It's going to be stellar. And that is the most difficult corner that he's going to have to face. I could see him going like 7 for 80 in a touchdown. But that's a low number for Ohio State, especially with their number one wide receiver. So I will go with Michigan to cover and lock down their most dynamic offensive target, and the Wolverines cover.
I started to really like this Ohio State team. Travion Henderson is the game changer. They could run in the interior with them, stay on schedule, stop the pass rush. Got to stop the pass rush of Michigan. Can't have third and longs and stuff like that, or behind the chains. And then he's a home run hitter. Very tight game. If you're going to give me 3.5, I'm going to take Ohio State. I think they can win the game. And then I certainly think they can cover. So I'm going to take the Buckeyes in this with that 3.5. And I get to fade Sean for a third straight one. This is it. This is the week it all changes. I got your plays, Sean. Of course, I just pick after.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Bielema texted me your picks.
I'm starting to see how this works. The two guys that picked near the end here.
Well, I mean, hey, I was picking Ohio State. I'm taking them.
Okay.
I'd consider the win there. I like them. Go ahead. Washington State at number 5, Washington. Apple Cup, Huskies given 16.5, Saturday, 4 p.m. on Fox. Obviously, games in Seattle. Ross.
Thankfully, this series is going to continue. They just announced. They just announced. Yeah, I think yesterday that the Apple Cup is extended. Five years, because there was a chance with the realignment, and there's still a chance with the Civil War, Oregon State, to take a year off or more. So thankfully, that will not happen, at least in the Apple Cup. Great rivalry. I think it's Friday night. Is it Friday night? Yeah.
No, Saturday.
No. Saturday. Is it
Civil War's Friday night. Apple Cup. Saturday afternoon.
Gotcha.
One's nice. One's an Apple Cup. One's a Civil War.
Yeah. Look, I'm not paying attention at all. What's the spread?
16.5.
Woo! That seems like a lot. Way too much. Way too many. Give me Washington State.
To the podcast, you're
I know, right? Completely not paying attention. Give me the Cougars to cover. I mean, they haven't played top notch the last few weeks. At one point, I think they lost 6 straight, maybe. But they won last week against Colorado, and so I think they'll keep it within a couple of touchdowns.
I'm going to take the Huskies to roll big here. I think they can win by 17, 20, 21, whatever. I just think they're locked in. They are eyes on the prize. It's right there in front of them. Finish the season 12-0 for the first time since 1991. Go to the championship game. Take your chances there against Oregon in a rematch, most likely. Michael Penix's last game in Husky Stadium. He's not going out without chucking it around. So I think Washington just should be fully locked in as the better team at home and takes care of business in a big way.
I'm going to have to make Dan take Washington State here. I'm left with no other choice.
I was going to take them anyway. I was going to take them anyway.
I'm sure. I'll go with the Huskies to cover this game. Excited for it.
Taking Washington State. They're gonna bow up enough defense, 16.5. I'll take that. I start with that. Washington State. Number 4, FSU at Florida. Florida State giving 6.5. No Jordan Travis. Saturday, 7 p.m. ESPN. Back to you, Pat.
Yeah, tough pick without Jordan Travis. But I have seen Tate Rodemaker play in an emergency situation with the game on the line last year, and he did well. Led Florida State to a win at Louisville. Too much on the line for Florida State to blow this. They are going to win. They'll barely cover. This is a touchdown game. The spread 6.5. That's fine. I will take it. FSU gets out of the swamp at 12-0.
Night game, swamp. Florida kept up with a good Missouri team last week. Probably, you know, had the game won with a minute left. Florida State, no starting quarterback. I think this shapes up to be an incredibly tight, ugly game that Florida has a good chance to win late, even without its starting quarterback. Gimme the Gators to cover the 6.5.
It's so dejecting as a locker room when your starting quarterback goes down, even more so when you have playoff hopes. It's almost a feeling you can't explain that well, because he's the leader of the team. I still think Florida State has enough talent around them to win by a touchdown against Florida. So I will go with the Seminoles to cover.
I agree. I'm taking the Seminoles. I think they got enough to do this. I think they're going to be very focused on this game. We have a bonus line. Only 3 of us can participate, because one could clearly just point shave, I guess, if you'd call it that. Sean Wednesday night drinks. Wednesday night drinks. Wednesday, 7 p.m. at various bars and taverns in the DMV. Over under, set by Sean, 14.5.
Woo!
Wow. Drunkest Woo! Night of the year. Mm. Wednesday yeah. night before Thanksgiving. Mm. Drunkest night of yeah. the year.
Over under. Anyone? Go ahead.
It's a great night to be a young man. Yeah. You know what? Look, Sean's been a gamer all year. Sean showed me. We moved the time around. Sean's like, yeah, it's fine. I got it. No problem. Yeah, I'll be yep. there. He's always on time. So my faith in Sean is rock solid, and he will hit the over on that. I have total confidence in him.
Hashtag grit.
14.5, huh? What time do you start drinking?
7 p.m.
Hmm.
Stops,
seven, you drink
stops
till...
Thursday at 7 a.m.
Yeah, right. You drink till 1 or 2. Yeah, 7 hours. You two drinks per... You're averaging two drinks per hour. That's not too bad. Of course, it depends on what kind of drinks they are.
Yeah,
hopefully,
you're
not just drinking bourbon. Then you'll be in real trouble. Start with beer. Yeah, I'll go the over. I say he gets 15.
Sean, what are we drinking?
I think it's going to be a healthy mix for sure. You know,
an unhealthy mix.
Oh, that's yeah.
Yeah.
Better that. You know, a little run, little pass, set up the play action. Mm-hmm. Just try to work the ball down the field when we need to. We need to adjust, get to a less crowded bar. We can do that. You know,
100% getting it done. Getting it done. 100% getting this done. Go get yourself a Popeyes turkey the next day. All right.
Ooh, yeah. Good hangover.
Lock
food.
Of the week.
Popeyes.
Who you got? Anyone got a lock of the week?
I got one.
Ross.
UTSA plays at Tulane. 10-1 Tulane. The Green Wave are 3-point favorite at home. They have been rolling. They will roll with a win into the American Championship game for a second year in a row. They've got to win this game, I believe, to get there. I guess there's a way they – No, I think they have to win this game. I think winner of this game.
The tiebreaker in that league has got me so confused. There's three undefeated teams.
Yeah, SMU. Somehow,
I don't understand it. But
anyway.
Probably SMU seems to have a more probable chance to get in, even if they lose. But
Tulane's not losing. I think they win, and I think they win convincingly, at least cover the three for sure. So give me the Green Wave as my lock of the week. And it's coach Willie Fritz as my lock to probably get another job this offseason.
Speaking of other jobs in that game, Jeff Traylor reportedly did a Zoom interview with Texas A&M that went 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then, coaches, I love you guys so much. He was asked about it after their game Saturday night, and his answer was like the most offensive thing you could possibly say is like, any words I say about that or any words that are spoken about Jeff Traylor and not about Frank Harris, their quarterback, is a travesty to these 18 seniors. You know what? If you're that concerned about being asked legitimate news questions, don't do the Zoom interview. Maybe that's the answer there, as opposed to blaming a reporter who's asking you a legitimate question and trying to deflect it as you're taking away the attention from these seniors. Where was your attention when you were interviewing for 90 minutes? Anyway. My lock of the week is Nebraska.
Let me one thing on that.
No.
My favorite all-time coach denial. All-time favorite. And I know this is in college football. Jeff Blashill is a hockey coach. He coached the Grand Rapids Griffins, whatever, like the AHL AAA kind of team for the Detroit Red Wings. And he got asked, and the Red Wings had their job open, and obviously they were killing it, and he had a chance to get the Red Wing job, and he got angry and refused to comment on whether he'd be interested in taking the Red Wing job. my focus is on this team. He was all fired up about it. Of course, he took the job and was their coach for like 7. Who the hell would blame the AAA coach from wanting to move up in the same organization? Insane. It's insane. It's like asking the offensive coordinator as the interim coach, would you like that job full time? Hell yeah. Yeah. I would like that job. Anyway, go ahead. All-time
favorite. Great. Yeah, please. They protest too much. Okay. My lock of the week. Give me the corn rivalry, Iowa-Nebraska. For some reason, Nebraska's favored in this by like 2.5 or whatever. Have you seen Iowa this year? They're atrocious, but they win.
Yep.
They're 9-2. Nebraska's 5-6 and has lost 3 straight games. I mean, Iowa 9, Nebraska 7. You're getting 2, you win by 2. Game over. And just, again, don't watch the game.
I'm going to let's end it off on a late game here for my lock. I like UCLA giving 9.5 to Cal. I want to close out the regular season of college football strong with a nice 10:30 p.m. Eastern time start. So I think Chip Kelly's still fighting, trying to build some momentum for next year. So I'll take the Bruins to cover that.
Like that one, too. I'm going to go a late one, too. I'm very interested in Toledo giving 10.5 at Central Michigan. I like Toledo in that game, but I'm not going to take that. I'm going to take Fresno State giving 5.5 at San Diego State. Brady Hoke has already announced his retirement for the Aztecs. Fresno State's a much better team. San Diego State's 3-8, unless they're going to rise up for Brady. If they are, they should have done that sooner. Mm-hmm. San Diego State's lost 4 in a row. The only team really they beat lately is Hawaii. So I know Fresno's reeling, but I think they got enough to win by 5.5. And I'm going to take Fresno State to get injury. I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to take Fresno State. That's my lock of the week. So there you go. Hopefully it's enough to win. That's a Saturday night late one. I'm already regretting that one.
The words that barely escaped your mouth and you're already regretting it.
I know how it goes.
I understand.
I'm already regretting it. You took my UCLA pick.
That was
anyway,
Sean took that.
Yeah. I know. Sean did. Yeah. Well, that's, yeah. He's the one I'm not chasing you, Pat. You're in last.
True.
Yeah. Also, like, what was this Arkansas one? There was a weird spread on Arkansas.
And Missouri?
It's only like 6 or something.
Yeah.
Do I have a small one on that? Can't find it.
Sam Pittman's coming back. You never know.
Pittman's back. Missouri only giving 7.5 at Arkansas. Kind of puzzling.
I wouldn't touch it.
No, me neither.
Anyway, Pittman's back, so let's get some Hams beer.
Hams beer. Get old, good old Hams beer.
It'll help the SEC Media Day next year. All right, that's our show. Enjoy your Thanksgiving if you already had it. Hope you enjoyed it. Enjoy a great weekend of football. We'll be back Sunday to break down all of the mayhem. We appreciate you. Last week of the regular season, appreciate you guys tuning in all season long. Incredible listenership. Continue to tell your friends and family about us at Thanksgiving. Share us on social media. We will talk to you next.